Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is the G.I. Jake Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack, as I get my levels right on my headphones. There we go. I can actually hear now.
Like the shirt, man.
What's that?
The shirt.
Yeah, you're wearing a good shirt too. So is Tim Hill, and so are the other three people that are going to walk through that door wearing the exact same shirt. I had to go change shoes before I came into the studio because Tim and I matched too good. You went with a different color of shorts.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's a very nice shirt, though.
It is a very nice shirt. Very nice shirt. Very comfortable. All thanks to the Fan Run Charity Open and everything that's going on right now behind the scenes with fanrunradio.com/shop. Up first, Tennessee gets the win in the series, the sweep this weekend against Missouri. Winning 10-1 on Friday, or excuse me, Thursday, 3-2 on Friday, and then 3-2 again on Saturday. Used to the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, but it was weird because I wasn't feeling too good this weekend. Between allergies and a little stomach bug that I had, but all in all, you go to the game on Friday, and it went from kind of a social event, and we were up 3-0 to oh my God, we got to take this serious. And then Saturday, you come out, you score 3 runs in the first, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was all you got. Mm-hmm. But all in all, you're going to get everybody's best ball at this point. Everybody knows that you're one of the best teams in the country, one of the best teams in the conference. Mm-hmm. You're going to get everybody's best. There are nobody's going to be a cakewalk, except maybe your midweek games from here on out. That's just how it's going to be. And that's not just in baseball. That's in football. That's in basketball. If you're at the top of the list, you're going to get everybody's best. And Tennessee made it happen this weekend. Absolutely made it happen. And it was very, very good to see. Of course, Cam Peebles notching his first home run in his Tennessee career on Thursday. That was good to see because, we had talked a lot about, the hitting slump that he's been in.
Yeah.
But he's playing well defensively, but, he's not playing as well at the plate. And, like we were talking with West Coast Rusty on Friday, it just seemed like it was going to be good for him to just get that one. And once he got that one, maybe he would be good from there on out. And I hope that's the case because I really want to see everybody playing well that can play well, I should say.
Right.
And, he's one of these guys, he can come in and he can play.
We got
guys on this roster that just aren't hitting the ball well right now. Blake Burke, he's struggling at the plate a little bit right now, and that's kind of tough to see considering what all he had done up to this point in the year. Mm-hmm. But, Brett, just like in basketball, the only way to get out of a shooting slump is to shoot yourself out of it. The only way to get yourself out of a hitting slump is to hit yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And you hope it's not a, Jimmy Johnson NASCAR case. He had the summer slumps there for the longest time.
Right.
He'd get to summertime and he just wouldn't be racing as well. Things just weren't going his way. And then he'd, crank things back up once playoff time happened. And I'm hoping that's kind of the case with this baseball team. Now, obviously, we need everybody to hit the ball well because that's what we're known for. But it didn't seem like on Friday and Saturday that we were hitting the ball as well, at least not going yard like we normally do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we used them up on Thursday. Every one of our runs was a home run. Out of all our 10 runs, it was either solo shot, a 3-run shot. You had almost everybody in the lineup seemed like they hit a home run, including Peebles, who, we expected big things from him coming in from NC State, switching in catcher. We thought going into season catcher was probably the biggest position of need. Stark has played better than he did last year. I mean,
very much so.
He's hitting closer to 300. He's caught the staff really well. You want to win games, run rule people. It's less stressful, but these are the type of games you're going to see in a regional or an SEC tournament. Like, So it was good for our pitchers. Some of them, we got some younger guys in there.
It was.
Some veterans.
Right.
So it was good to see us win two close ball games. You know, I'm sure if you ask Tony, he likes the 15-0 games better. We all do.
Of course.
You know, so, but, you know, you did what you're supposed to do. You won all three games. You, I think, made up some ground in the division and in the conference. And, you know, it should give us confidence going into Tuesday and then another big series starting Thursday in Gainesville. So, but,
yeah,
can't be too concerned with too much. If you're worried about our hitting, I mean, that should be the least of our concerns because that's not going to be something that happens, you know. And, you know, give Missouri some credit. I mean, they pitched well and
they did
had our guys off balance. So, you know, I feel like we'll bounce back pretty quickly.
Of course, Tennessee had three guys selected on day three in the NFL draft. Of course, Jalen Wright was taken by the Miami Dolphins. Joe Milton will be headed to New England for the Patriots. And then Kamal Haddon in the sixth round will be going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously good. I mean, to have three guys drafted is always good. I mean, it's been, you know, we've had our struggles getting people drafted. It's a lot of undrafted guys that are making the league. But so to see the guys, I think maybe Jalen Wright went a little bit later than we might have thought. You know, but I kind of like the fit with Miami. We'll see what Miami does. I mean, I know they have Mostert and A-Chain there currently.
They do.
So, see what they do. And then Joe Milton, I mean, you know, sixth round is kind of where we expected him to go. To New England's interesting. So, we'll see if he even lasts as a quarterback. There's been rumors he could switch positions if he wants to see the field, you know. And
yeah, there's been rumors.
We didn't really talk about that, but.
But, I mean, the thing is, like, he's – I feel like he's very committed to staying at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he wants to do. And, you know, if Drake May doesn't work out, you know, it could be an opportunity for him to step in and be like, okay, well, guess what? I didn't really get it done at Tennessee. And, I mean, we'll call it like it is. You know, Hendon Hooker carried that team for 2 years. You know, of course, Joe got hurt against Pitt and then insert Hendon Hooker, and that sparked this this love that a lot of people refound for Tennessee football because a lot of people thought this program was dead and about to become a museum program.
Right.
And, of course, you insert Hendon Hooker, who's able to make plays, not only with his arm but with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're throwing to guys like Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt, Ramel Keaton, Brew McCoy, Princeton Fant.
A lot of pros.
A lot of pros. A lot of pros on that list. And then you have a strong running back core, and a lot of people forget that this team is a run-first team. But at the same time, the most explosive plays, the ones that we all remember, are those throws by Hendon Hooker and what he did with his legs. Some of those runs that he had were phenomenal.
Right. And then you talk about Haddon. I think he would have been a higher pick if he didn't get hurt. I mean, obviously his numbers in the, what, four games, five games he actually got to play in last year.
He had the highest PFF grade out of any of our DBs, which is hard to think about just given
– Yeah.
It's like I think the dumb plays, like in his situation, the dumb plays – outweighed exactly what he did.
Yeah, everybody saw what he did almost in the previous year, the South Carolina game specifically. And then, I mean, against Florida, you know, the lack of physicality he showed, things like that, not making a tackle. But then you see his ball skills, you know, the pick six against South Carolina. And he's going to a spot where they play a lot of young people. They play young corners a lot. So I didn't see, like, the full teams of what they drafted and everything, but – it'll be interesting to see how all these guys do, if you know how much playing time, that sort of thing. So, and then I know we had some guys go get picked up undrafted well.
We had seven guys go undrafted that ended up signing contracts.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, a couple of them are actually staying close to Knoxville, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Jabari Small, right? And who's the other one?
McCollin Castles is going to the Eagles. Jacob Warren's going to the Patriots, and Ramel Keaton is going to the Raiders.
Okay.
Gabe Giudicelli also went to the Titans.
Yes.
Jeremiah Crawford went to the Panthers. Ramel Keaton went to the Raiders. Jalen McCullough went to the Rams. Jacob Warren went to the Patriots. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Aaron Beasley, D. Williams both went to the Seahawks. I didn't see Jabari Small get picked up missing that.
Mm-hmm. I think he got picked up. I'm pretty sure it was by the Titans, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe that one was late, but because I was looking at a list of all the undrafted guys that got signed.
It says it was expected to sign with the Titans, so I don't know. Maybe they just haven't actually announced it, but Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'm, you know, seeing where these, how these guys do and everything like that. So it should be fun.
It's going to be interesting to see indeed. Marcus, your overall reaction from three rounds and our undrafted signees?
Is the NFL as a whole or just the Vols?
Just the Vols.
I'm surprised that Wright went as late as he did. He went in the fourth round. I kind of expected him to be a
What do you like? Do you like the fit guy there?
He's not going to see the field anytime soon. To me, he's going to be behind Mozart, Achan.
Yeah, they have another guy, too, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of who it is.
Oh, Jeff Wilson?
Yeah, Jeff Wilson. So he's fourth string. So he's not going to see the field. He's not a punt return guy, so he's not going to go on the field that way.
Will he have a better career than Bryce Brown? I hope they cut you, Brown. I hope they cut you, Brown.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know how much of an impact he'll have in Miami. I like the fit system-wise, but he's just not going to have an opportunity soon unless there's a bunch of injuries like Miami had last year. So he's probably a good fit for that offense. It's just a shame he won't have an opportunity to make a bigger impact sooner. But it could change. You never know.
You don't know, Indy. Jack, how are we doing today, man?
Good, yeah. I liked where all our Vols landed. You know, Dolphins, they have a great offense, as we've seen from their 70-point victory against the Broncos last year. So you couldn't ask for a better situation for Jalen, I think. And then Joe Milton, yeah, I heard all that, those rumblings about changing position. I feel like when you got an arm like that, it's just, you can't switch position. Like, he was made to play quarterback. Yeah, he needs to be more accurate, but he's just got a cannon. And, yeah, he's got Drake May in front of him, so he could have an opportunity. We'll see how that goes. And then Kamal, yeah, that's another great situation. I mean, the Chiefs been playing great defense last year, and they had, like, a rookie corner last year, right, who played fantastic. So, you know, could be a part two of that, and Kamal could ball out. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, you just never know. I mean, we've had guys, and we've seen it before, guys that go first round that are out of the league within a few years. We've also seen undrafted free agents go on to be just absolute playmakers. We've seen Mr. Irrelevant twice now absolutely make something of their career. Tom Brady and Brock Purdy's about to be added to that list.
Brady wasn't Mr. Irrelevant.
I thought he was Mr. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm.
Now, if
just
you
a late round pick.
He was late.
Ryan Succop was a Mr. Irrelevant, which he's had a long career, won a Super Bowl with the Bucs, so you can count that. But, yeah, Brady wasn't Mr. Irrelevant. He was seventh round, but not the very last.
It's close. Day. Pretty close.
He's pretty close.
Yeah.
He's pretty close. But Brock Purdy, I mean, he's going to be climbing up that ladder before you know it. I mean, he really already has. Had he not got hurt last year, they might have been in the Super Bowl. He leads them to a Super Bowl this past year.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are they going to do this year? Because now if he does get hurt, you got some insurance there. With Josh Dobbs, you got a playmaker. Not just somebody that's going to stand in the pocket that was one of these, you know, Midwest Group of Five or FCS schools that they just roll out there because they're a cheap buy at the time. I mean, you got some insurance there. And you've also got, of course, your dog and Jawan Jennings. You got Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. I mean, they're probably going to make another run this next year. They're probably going to be right there, and it's probably going to be the Kansas City Chiefs making a run once again this year. I mean, it's pretty much their league and nobody else's. I mean, it's theirs to lose, I guess what I'm trying to say at this point. When we return, we'll be going over something interesting from this weekend. A lot of points. A lot of points. A lot of points.
A lot of points?
A lot of
points.
That's
the only hint we get?
A lot of points were scored. That's all I'm going to say. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Let's go to the phones for the first time today, 865-288-3131. If you want to chime in, Phil is up first. What do you say, Philly?
Jake Snake.
Philly.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Is Marcus and Bear, they come from the same training session?
They come from the Russell Smith School of Broadcasting.
I know. Call 100 times, nobody answers the phone.
We don't have the same system that we used to have to notice when the phone is ringing, so I'm having to look in different places than I'm used to. So, still getting used to the new studio.
They gonna get the phone lines fixed yet?
Now, the phone lines are fixed.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, we just got to have our. We have little icons that used to tell us when someone was calling without actually ringing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
High tech, or not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Matthew could figure it out.
Guys, how come nobody talks about the Braves, best of the record in baseball?
Well, Phil, I'll be honest. I'm just not a pro baseball guy. It's not really my thing, and I just I don't feel comfortable talking about stuff that I know nothing about.
Huh. I thought you was a Cubs fan.
I was. It was fun. And then it just became hard to watch, and I haven't paid attention in a couple of years now, ever since they got rid of my core three that I really liked up there.
Yeah. That's part of baseball, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, you do good, and then the three guys that helped build you a World Series team, you just say, okay, well, we're gonna build this thing from the ground up, and then they do nothing.
Of course, the Braves are on your all's network.
Oh, yeah.
I listen there periodically if I can't see it on TV.
Yeah, it's one of the better additions that we've made since we've been down here. I just looked at the Cubs' standings. They're actually second in the NL Central right now.
I mean, if it come down to it, I'd really watch the Braves and watch UT baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
I do like my Braves, but, I mean, I jump on them after the Tony Vitello season more than anything. And I guess what the Braves are doing right now is kind of expected, you know. They've been doing it the last few years. Obviously just got the one World Series, but, you know, it's more about what they do in the postseason for them and what they're going to do replace the Strider as well, you know, once it gets near closer to the trade deadline, things like that.
Well, Florida and Tennessee in baseball will be interesting, though, because Florida can hit, and if we hit like we did against Missouri, I don't sort of see us winning 2 out of 3 down there in Florida.
Yeah, that was I was very disappointed with the hitting that we had on Friday and Saturday this week. You know, it just seemed like after Thursday, you just absolutely run them out of the stadium. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're going to do this the next 2 days, and then you end up having 2 one-point games or one-run games the next two days. And like I was telling Brett on Friday, it seemed like it was just a social event. You know, everybody's just chatting it up, not really paying too close of attention to the game, and then all of a sudden in the top of the ninth, it's like, okay, we got to take this serious.
Well, I heard Baskerville in the last show talking about he run into what, Rick Barnes, and said the recruiting's going good or something, and something about the Chaz Lanier and Igor. I think Igor's supposed to commit this week. I mean, he's already committed with all the paperwork and the visa and all that garbage.
All that NIL stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he can't take NIL money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
If you're not a citizen of the United States and you're here on a visa, you can't take NIL money.
Oh, gosh.
But how does your C-boy get NIL money then?
Well, that's called the University of Kentucky, in which they just did it the way that they had done it for the past 50 or so years, ever since Adolph Rupp was up there.
Well, I see where they got some commitments this week. I guess they're going to win a national championship now.
I guess so. They think they are.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Pope's one of the ugliest-looking human beings I've ever seen.
He's on the list, right, Jake?
Yep.
Pope, he's on the list.
He's on the list of ugly people, Phil.
I mean, if you come in, what recruit would like to play for that, you know? I mean, good Lord.
Do you think that's ever gone through somebody's mind? It's like, I don't want to play for that guy. He's ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I bet that their parents, especially the mothers, probably notice that more, I'd say. or the girlfriends of the player.
You would think. I mean, you look at who they've got so far. Obviously, Travis Perry, he's from up there. He's going to stay committed. Looks like they got the guy out of Oklahoma. They got Lamont Butler out of San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
And where in the world?
Well, it's crazy how many they've put together in the last, like, week, because people are getting a little worried. I mean,
you got a 6'10 small forward. You got a 6'10 power forward. And you got 2 point guards and shooting guard.
Well, realistically, you need 10 players to play in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully, Tennessee's got 10 players lined up for next year. If they get the Igor in, that's 10 players in it. That don't even count Chaz on there.
Yeah, that should be right.
Yeah,
that should be right.
Yeah.
And supposedly, there's a point guard named Christian Anderson who signed to Michigan, but got out his letter of intent whenever Juwan Howard got fired. He's out there to get, and I think Tennessee's got interest in him, and he's got interest in Tennessee. So we'll be interested to see if they can swing it. I mean, really, talent-wise, he's probably better than Ziegler. He don't have the experience Ziegler has, but he's 6'1", and he's quick as lightning and can shoot from 30 feet.
Wow.
Point guard.
I would love that as a backup point guard, that's for sure. Because, I mean,
yeah, you got to get somebody in there, get some minutes going into the following season once Ziegler's out.
Yeah, and I've pretty much accepted the fact that Zakai Ziegler is going to be our starting point guard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Once again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you need to have backup. If something happens, and I could foresee you could put 2 point guards in the game like I did when they had Ziegler and Kennedy Chandler.
Can't Lanier play some point? Am I wrong in thinking that? Didn't he play some at North Florida?
Well, he played some point guard in high school, and BJ lit him up like a Christmas tree.
Goodness. BJ Edwards.
BJ scored 30 on him.
30 points.
Yeah.
Of course, BJ's, that's where he's at now, and this guy's resurrected his career at North Florida. Had a great year last year. Hopefully, he's going to be an impact for UT. Forget him.
I hope so. I mean, we need impactful players is what we need. You got to have somebody that can come off the bench and get you about 5 or 6.
Haddon is in the best situation of all Tennessee's players, don't you think?
Well, yeah, he's going to go out there. He might not even have
– went in a good situation.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is he might go out to Kansas City, not play a snap, and get him a Super Bowl ring.
Well, yeah, that's true. But well,
then we got to hear about that.
Well, they're winners, though. You're not like the Oilers. See you.
Appreciate the phone call, Philly. Jab at Marcus's Titans on the way out the door. Marcus, your guy Will Levis seen kissing a catfish this past weekend.
We're not talking about that.
I mean, Taylor Lewan drank beer out of one a couple of years back, so like it's not that weird. Though I'm starting to think I might hit the blame on him for us losing that game.
Gosh.
For him being there.
Just his presence results on
Although,
the loss.
One cool thing that did happen from that game, despite the loss, that was heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. Taylor Lewan was there. He did his usual thing, chugged a beer, and they kept the camera on him because his daughter then took her cup of water and started chugging the water. It was pretty cool. That was kind of a heartwarming moment. Like, dad chugs a beer, daughter's like, dad, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm chugging water, though.
It was
pretty cool.
Can you give us I didn't watch the game, but
a heartbreaking play-by-play? Yeah. Absolutely, sure.
It was probably one of the worst sports losses I've ever experienced.
I've experienced
in
worse.
NBA action this past weekend. The New York Knicks.
Wow. That's crazy, Jake.
Wow.
Get the win 97-92 to take a 3-1 series lead.
He just wanted to get to his seat.
Over the 76ers.
He brought it up too.
Jalen Brunson finished with 27 points and 10 assists. Joel Embiid would finish with 27 points and 10 rebounds. The Clippers tie the series at 2-2. Winning game 116-111 over Dallas. Kyrie Irving scored 40 points, but it was not enough. James Harden would lead the way for L.A. 33 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. The Pacers. Bob's Indiana Pacers. Man. 126-113 over the Milwaukee Bucks to take the 3-1 series lead. Miles Turner leading the way for them. So far, really, throughout this entire series, love to see it. And the Timberwolves win the series, winning the game 122-116 over the Phoenix Suns, in which you might have just saw Kevin Durant put on a Suns uniform for the last time. They sent all those picks. They sent all those picks, all those players up to Brooklyn for Kevin Durant. And the mindset was, we're going to win now. Put him with Devin Booker, you got a shot.
Yeah.
And they really did. They thought they had a shot. And then here you are, losing in the first round 4-0 to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, man, he's coming if he's not already here. I mean, what he did in that finals or in the finals in that series was pretty remarkable, to say the least. I knew he was good, but he just, especially yesterday, it was something else. That fourth quarter was just unstoppable, and exclamation point with that dunk, and just, yeah, he's something else, no doubt.
And of course, on Saturday, the Magic defeat the Cavs, tie the series at 2 apiece. That one is going to be fun to watch throughout the rest of that series. The Thunder take a 3-0 series lead against the Pelicans, 106-85, in which Charles Barkley said, we're not sending them to Cancun. If you don't know what I'm referencing, yeah, when a team is out of the playoffs or about to be put out of the playoffs, NBA on TNT, inside the NBA, puts up a graphic saying gone fishing. And they usually send them to Cancun, right? Mm-hmm. Well, according to him, the Pelicans, they're not going to Cancun.
No.
They're going to Galveston. That dirty water.
Yeah. He got some pushback yesterday, though, didn't he? From, was it Beyonce's, mom or something? She's, from down there or something? Didn't appreciate it.
Well, where was he wrong?
I don't know. That's why
anything he says, everyone gets on to him, but it's like, where was he wrong? That dirty water, people go stick their feet in that nasty water, and they think they're at the beach. That was one of the best Charles Barkley segments I've heard in a minute.
It was good.
That was fantastic. I couldn't stop laughing. I think the best part about all that is Shaq. His laugh is contagious. And every time Charles says something, he says, say it again, Chuck.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
He's like, where are we sending him? Galveston.
Yeah. It was funny.
Brett, your Lakers pick up a win.
They did. Finally. Only took them 12 tries to beat the team. And it was good to see us finish one off. You know, you've had the lead longer in the series than mm-hmm. they have. Like, they've been trailing more against you.
Well, last Thursday, y'all had a 14-point lead at one point.
20. I mean, it's frustrating. So, it's good to get that win. Jamal Murray might be out tonight. So, you don't know. LeBron's done it before. So, why not again? Let's do it again, LeBron.
And, of course, the Celtics take a 2-1 series lead.
I was noticing you casually.
They will play game 4 tonight.
Boston Celtics had a pretty good game, Jack. I don't know if you'd watched it.
I didn't watch because I assumed it'd be the blowout.
Yeah,
it was kind of
crazy how that one worked. But yeah, they looked fantastic throughout, and the Miami Heat, especially being at home, we would have thought they would have put up more of a fight, but
still doesn't change the fact you got cooked by Haywood Highsmith at the Boston Garden.
And it's just a shame that they think that they can play basketball. You know, it's just, it's a shame.
It is a shame they're missing their best player. I will give them that. But
no, that's not what I said. I said it's a shame that they think they can play basketball.
No, right, but that's what I said. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, but you said, as if you were agreeing with me, and then you said something different.
I'm agreeing with you and disagreeing with you. That's what's happening right now. Celtics are clearly the favorites in the East, so they should get these wins.
Yeah.
Glad that they're actually getting 20-point wins like they should be. Should be over in 5, it looks like.
It will not be over in 5. It'll be Heat in 6. It'll be Heat in 6.
Good luck, Jake.
Yeah.
Heat in 6?
Yes.
Wow.
Game 4 tonight in Miami. Boston is a 10.5-point favorite. And, of course, the Thunder look to close out the Pelicans tonight as they stay in New Orleans. Galveston. 8:30 NBA TV. Celtics and Heat will be on TNT. And then to round it out tonight, you got the Lakers and the Nuggets at 10 o'clock on TNT, in which Denver is a 7.5-point favorite. I look for Denver to close that one out tonight. Thoughts, concerns, questions? Go to hell, Jake.
Yes. Well, you expect the Celtics to win tonight. You expect the Thunder to close them out. And, I mean, I think it depends on Jamal Murray's health. If he's out, I mean, that limits what they can do. And, like I said, the Lakers have played great this series, except for a couple-minute stretch in the fourth quarter when you need to finish a deal, and they finally did it. Maybe it wakes them up. I mean, AD's been incredible. LeBron's played great. I mean, it's just – it's frustrating, but I don't know. I think they win tonight.
I think the stat I saw was that the Lakers were leading in games or this series like 149 minutes, and the Nuggets like 14.
They've led at half in each of them. They've led into the fourth in all of them.
Nuggets are just leading at the correct times, it seems.
AD's not scoring in the fourth. I mean, he's got like 2 points a game in the fourth quarters, which is crazy because he the numbers say, I mean, he's dropping 32 and 18 right now.
Right. He's playing great. Yeah. It's hard to blame it on anybody,
and
really.
Then the other night was D'Lo in game three, I think. 0 points.
That was rough.
Golly. That was terrible. So, we'll see. I mean, it'll be a close game. That'll be the best game of the night over the other two, I think.
We got an interesting one coming up next when we return, because finally some word is getting through about how bad these uniforms really are. It wasn't just a fan thing. It was a player's thing. It was a manager's thing. It was just absolutely atrocious. And I'm not surprised. And it kind of relates to us here in Knoxville. I'm excited to talk about that. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Hour number one, some breaking news right off the top here. Tennessee has landed another commit. The forward, Igor Milicic, 6'10", 225 pounds from UNC Charlotte, averaging 12.8 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, and 1.7 assists on 48% shooting, 37% from three. There's a tie there. 37. Right. Join the 37 Club today at fanrunradio.com/the37club. And he's a pretty good free throw shooter, 81.8%. Yeah. That's about where you want him. You want him to be between 80 and 90% if you really want to win some ball games. That's a big pickup for the Vols.
Yeah, that was a you know, not an if, that was a win, I think, pretty much when his name was first brought up. And I guess you slide him in at your starting four man, mm-hmm. probably going into next season. So, yeah, nice pickup. And, you know, if he wants to come here and put 13 and 6 or whatever he said on the board for us each night, we'll take that.
13 and 7, 13 and 8, I'll take it.
Knock down a couple threes, yeah, let's do it.
Especially somebody that can stretch the floor.
Just don't play like Darko.
Yeah, don't play like Darko. Darko has a ring, though.
That's true.
Darko's got a ring. And, of course, as we were telling you in the last segment, finally, someone's word got heard. Because Major League Baseball plans to address its uniform fiasco after changes this spring to the standard jerseys and pants that led to a widespread complaint from players and fans, according to a memo obtained Sunday night by ESPN. The prominent modifications include a return to the larger lettering of the back of the jerseys, remedying mismatched gray tops and bottoms, and addressing the new Nike jerseys. Guys, those things just nasty. You ever see the ones that are like, obviously they're thinner now. Mm-hmm. They're more see-through.
Right.
Have you seen one that's wearing gray?
I'm not sure I have.
It looks like that nasty guy at Neyland Stadium who's sitting there in the middle of September with a sweaty back.
Wow.
Oh, they're gross.
So this is a Nike issue. Is that my understanding? I thought it was Fanatics.
Yes.
Fanatics is like a wing of Nike. It's a whole monopoly.
So essentially, like, I don't know if you guys know this, like, Nike's not actually making these uniforms.
Well, I mean, I'm seeing right here, it says this has been entirely a Nike issue.
It's a Nike issue because Nike doesn't want to pay to have better quality on their uniforms. That's the problem. Because this is getting outsourced, and, you know, companies like Fanatics and a couple other companies out there are making these uniforms. But, I mean, you know, Tennessee's had issues with Nike as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that once we got away from Adidas, that everything would be all perfect. Well, the one thing you can say about Adidas, if we were wearing orange on orange, it at least matched. It might not have been the right shade of orange, but at least it matched. Yeah. You got guys out there that are wearing two different tones of gray. And another thing that I noticed with Tennessee's uniforms, too, if you go back to Josh Heupel's first year in 2021, go watch the Florida game. We literally had a different color of orange on the power tee of the helmet than we did on the color of the numbers, and that we did on the color of the pants. Mm-hmm. Like, we were wearing three different shades of orange because Nike just could not get it right.
So Nike has a 10-year deal with the MLB.
Okay.
That was back in 2020 was when they started that. And the idea is that Nike would design the uniforms and Fanatics would produce them. Mm. Fanatics has been manufacturing Nike's MLB game uniforms for 4 years now. So it's not like they just added Fanatics. They've been a part of it for a while, but this was their attempt truly just to save them money by creating the jerseys that they created. That's what's happened. So people are acting like the MLB just added Fanatics this year.
Yeah.
Nah, that's been happening for years now. This was just their attempt to
trying to revitalize a uniform, essentially.
It's a new style of uniform that they put out.
I
don't think they're trying to revitalize anything. I think they're just finding ways to save them money. I think that's why the material looks cheaper. Mm-hmm. That's why the lettering looks as bad as it does. Looks more like it's pressed on than it is actually like sewn into it and things like that. Actually, I think that is what it is, mm-hmm. which is cheaper for them. That's what it really is. I don't think they care about how things look. That's why if you want to be real about it, that's why we get so many different jersey options most of the time, is they're just finding ways to make more money. Mm-hmm. And the MLB will do what it can to save money. That's why they – I don't know. If they change it, great. I don't think they're going to change it for long because they're just going to do the exact same thing that they always do.
But. Well, and you know, Marcus, you make a good point. It's like you have different jersey options. Like you have a sublimated option, which is the cheapest option for them. It costs them probably – I don't know how much it costs to sublimate these things. That's your cheaper option. And then they say it's a screen print, but it feels more like a vinyl heat transfer than what it does screen print on some of these things. Like my Titans jersey, for example, that I still have to burn. You can tell that the shoulder pattern, you know, it's got the different tones and whatnot. Those are just heat transferred on.
Yeah, like this pressed on to me almost feels like it's more like they put glue on the back of it and just slapped it on. Like that's what I mean when I talk about the press. It looks like you do it in arts and crafts. It doesn't look like a legit like manufactured, at least to me.
And then if you want the real thing, you got to pay upwards of $350 mm-hmm. to get a tackle twill jersey, which is the premier jersey and whatnot. But you know, at this point, it's like, you know, Fanatics is putting out cheap products. Nike's trying to put out cheap uniforms, and it's just not good for the team. It's not good for the fans. It's not good for anybody involved. You know who doesn't cheap out on uniforms?
SM.
This is true. SM Athletics is where you can get anything for your team a lot better than the quality that you're seeing in the MLB right now, for sure. Not just for your team, but for your business as well. If you need any embroidery done, screen print, heat transfers, we do it all here at SM Athletics. Give us a call today at 865-966-3434 or visit us online at smathletics.com. Back to the phones. Roberto is up next. What do you say, Berto?
Top of the morning, gents.
Hey.
Hope you're well.
Yes.
A little time, no talkie. Not a long time, no talkie.
Right.
Wow, the NBA, I actually turned it on. Still garbage. Still a garbage league. The only team worth watching is the Nuggets, in my opinion.
I'd say the Miami Heat are worth watching.
You did not watch Anthony Edwards last night, Roberto.
I did.
Then how can you say that? What?
Because Anthony Edwards is the only one doing anything. Nobody else is contributing around him.
It's not basketball.
That's not true. Like, for, well, not, terrible, not, guys. Not, well,
come
not to
on.
You. I'm saying not true to Jake. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, yeah, well, the NBA is a thing. Well, we can obviously talk about that. But, like literally, Ant even said after the game, he's like, when Cat gets in foul trouble, like, we don't do well. Like, when he's out there, he makes such an impact. Yeah. And he used more colorful language than I'm allowed to use. But yeah, no, Cat's a huge part of that team. I will also disagree with Jake that the Heat are not worth watching. Denver, to me, the teams that are worth watching right now that are in the playoffs is Denver, the Timberwolves, Celtics. I am biased, but I do think they're a good product. Sure. And honestly, because they're young and they're fresh, OKC is kind of fun to watch too. But that's just me.
Yeah, you know, I've been a Celtics fan almost my whole life. And then a couple years ago when they went out and got heavyset Larry Bird, that's what I started calling him, Jokic. I have to watch Jokic play. I have to. By the way, that leads me – nice segue for myself by accident. That leads me to this. Anytime a guy has IC at the end of his name, I want him on my team. So you just said Igor Milicic Jr. just committed to the Vols?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me all the itchies. Let's call ourselves the Itchy Vols. Okay?
I think that the Heat have a good one, too. Right, Jovic?
Jovic, yeah.
Yeah, he can play.
He's been balling.
So,
yeah. And Doncic.
There you go. Yeah.
All the itchies.
They should put him on. They should make an all-star team out of him playing them.
Yeah.
All-star game.
So, I say that to say this. Milicic was a have to get. Man, Jordan, I know you guys know Jordan pretty well.
Yes.
Jordan is just sheepy for that guy. And I'm for it. I mean, Jordan knows more basketball than I do, and he loves him. So, and he thinks he's the sleeper of the transfer class. So, feel pretty good about this. Yeah, any guy that's over 6'10 that can shoot the ball at a 37% clip from three, you're going to take, right? That's a, that's an immediate take.
Got to.
And he rebounds now teach
very
play defense.
He rebounds very well, which is something we've struggled with, I feel, especially losing all these front court dudes. It's just nice to have as much depth as possible there.
Time out. Are you saying that Tennessee has guys over 6'10 that can't rebound?
I mean, I feel like Adu would struggle at times. You know, people would get offensive rebounds on us. Come on.
Old Charmin Adu.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Am I in the minority here? I'm actually glad Adu left.
Oh, no, you are not in the minority at all. No,
I didn't like his attitude. I didn't like that he got – I mean, back in the day, I don't know what the kids call it anymore, okay? Adult posterizing, I don't know. He got daddied. He got daddied by every big man he played this year. If a big man had a pulse, he owned Adu. And somehow Adu was SEC second team, right? All SEC second team?
Yeah, and first
team
defense.
There's no doubt in my mind. Sorry, Brett,
and first team defense.
It was first team defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many big men were legit in the SEC this year? Maybe one, Tolu Smith.
Johnny Broome was good at Auburn.
Yeah, but he didn't guard Broome, right?
Not that day, because Broome went for about 30.
I'll tell you what bothers me the most about
nobody
Adu.
Nobody guarded him that day. Yeah.
But
yeah.
What bothered me the most with Adu is the fact that he got cooked by Zach Edey. And I don't know, his attitude, like you said, Robro, after he got pulled was – really just disgusting. And then the fact
he didn't want to go back in.
He didn't want to go back in, and it wasn't just that game. It was the game before against Creighton, in which Kalkbrenner just absolutely cooked him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You guys are way too young to remember this, but you've probably heard about it told in lores and legends, right? Bo essentially made Bo Jackson take himself out of the game against Auburn. I think it was 80. I want to say it was 85. It might have been 84, but I think it was 85. And That's the feel it had for me watching a Deuce sit over there. I was like, you are letting a freshman show you how to be physical, and that's pathetic.
Yep.
And when after the game, I was the voice in the wilderness screaming, I wanted him gone.
Well, I'll tell you,
have that on your team.
I'll tell you what, Roberto. You know what you're not going to have to worry about when it comes to being posterized or daddy, like you mentioned. King Felix won't let that happen.
Oh my God! Here we go again.
King Felix isn't going to let that happen with his ability to play defense, his high end.
He's physical
talent.
Too, right?
Oh yeah, Big Ten guy, man. He's always going to be fit. Got more blocks in two seasons. He has more blocks than Adu has had in his career. Just want to put that out there.
Wouldn't he have set the school record at the University of Tennessee for blocks in a season this year?
Yes.
Isn't that what I read?
Yes, absolutely. He had 83. And the school record was like 66 or 70, maybe. Yeah, it was 70. Cause
yeah, I think it's
Adu,
76. But yeah,
because Adu had 66 this year, which was less than King Felix. But I don't think – look, determining on whatever, you know, our coaching staff decides to do, I think you're going to see – and maybe his offensive game improves, but I think you're going to probably see Estrella more as the offensive guy down in the paint while you're going to see King Felix be your – the guy
are
that
you
going
to see them on the court together? Is that what you're about to tell me, Marcus?
I don't think we're going to see them together. Although that would be kind of cool, go old school and have two bigs. But I think when King Felix is out there, I think you're going to be – that's going to be the moments where you're trying to lock down on defense. You're not going to give up as many points. And when Estrella gets in there, he's going to help kind of push the lead and get it further down.
Well,
so
every game we played an elite big, except for Johnny Broome, we lost this year.
This is true. North Carolina, Purdue. Kansas.
Mississippi State.
Yeah. Mississippi State.
Not this upcoming season. Not because of the
guys,
game.
Guys, if you'll oblige me one more second to make one more transition. That baseball series was about as ugly as it possibly could be, and you know you're really good when your best hitter all around, in my opinion, right now, Blake Burke is actually the best all around hitter on the team. When your best all around hitter team on the team has such a bad weekend, your pitching actually steps up and has a good weekend, and your hitting can't do anything, and you still sweep a series against the team, in my opinion, that, you know, I know they're last in the East, but they're not that's not a terrible baseball team. So I was really, really excited to see that. Guys, I think Tennessee's getting ready to go win the East because I think Kentucky is going to flagell all the way down the stretch. See ya.
Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.